Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 14 of Slam Fire Radio for July 18th. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew.
That would make me the other one, Trevor.
And joining us, special guest this week, Chris Kingston, all the way from, like, Trevor's neighbor, kind of, like, down the road a little ways, so not that far. Chris, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Great. Just awesome.
Fantastic. Chris, you are heavily involved in what's coming up at the Restigouche Gun Club in just is a matter of weeks now, isn't it? The IPSC Nationals.
You're right. It's like 14 days, maybe 15 days away. So, yeah, it's kind of high anxiety time.
Yeah.
So, major construction and anxieties about deliveries of trophies and kits and match booklets, and you know, the list goes on forever and ever. So the details are the devil is in the details, I guess.
Absolutely. Right. And
save it for the main topic, no spoilers.
That's okay. Right, that's right. All right, well, as we normally do, Trevor, why don't you start us off with what you've done with where are my manners, Chris, we always let the guests go first. The first segment that we do is what we've done with guns this week. So what have you done with guns this week?
I have not shot a gun, I will tell you seriously, just up to my ears in administration details for the Canadian Nationals and construction and paying bills and soliciting sponsors. I have not shot a gun since the last level 2 that we had on the range.
And well, you're in luck, because it's not what did you shoot in guns this week, it's what you did. And I would say you being involved with the Nationals, that counts.
Right.
Got us all beat. But I still think it's unfortunate that he hasn't pulled the trigger in anger in weeks.
In anger.
Anyway, it will tell. It will tell for the pre-match, I would guarantee it, because not having any trigger time in that space of time is a telling symbol when you look at your targets later on. But that's okay. I'm out to have fun and make sure that this thing is seamless and works well. So that's my top priority this month.
Yeah, we've talked about that before on the show, where we discuss how shooting is a perishable skill. It's not like riding a bike. It is in some regards, but when it comes down to the more finer aspects of it, the precision, the marksmanship, and whatnot, you need to constantly practice that stuff, or else it kind of fades away.
Yeah, and if you've in a major competition such as this, if you've taken two stages to get that feel back, you've already lost it.
That's right. You've got to be right on your A game if you want to win something like this. Now, fortunately, neither you nor I, Chris, are on any sort of team or any sort of special, club or anything. We don't have to worry about winning, unlike our esteemed colleague Trevor here, who's on the New Brunswick team.
The New Brunswick goal team.
Well, I suggested that I go to a match this weekend to get some trigger time. And I had a conversation with Souse today, and I said to Souse, I said, basically, I was told that if I went, I would die. And Souse said, yeah, getting DQ'd from the Nationals is the least of your worries if we don't see you on the range on Sunday. You'll show up to the match dead.
Yeah. You sure?
You'd be deed.
Yeah, it's going really well. I'm impressed with the volunteers on the range. I think there was a study made that said that in any club, there's about 6% of the people that contribute. And there's about 8%, so there's a crossover there of people that really contribute from their pocket as well. So that leaves between 92 and 94% of the people sitting on their asses kibitzing what you're doing, right?
Right.
So I really appreciate those volunteers. And, I mean, we have some awesome, awesome volunteers. Stefan Cormier with his welding skills. Ronnie DeGroot, who was just a
freak in nature.
Just a beast on the range. I mean, he'd been there all day with his tractor. He'd been there since 8:30 this morning, so he put in a 12-hour day.
And he never slows down, Matthew. He hits the ground running, and he leaves still running. This man is a machine. He'll run you over if you get in the way.
Isn't he a farmer?
Yeah. Yes.
That's why.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. He's built like a front-end loader. Like
Yeah. He's all upper body.
Yeah. He leans forward, and he just goes, right? Anyway, just on another aspect of this, and this will be a real turn of events, because the last time I was on your radio, doing this, I was taking, deep cuts at the CFO in this province.
Yes.
And there's no mystery that me and Mr. Doyle didn't get along, and some of the conflicts spilled over into the range, and he shut down our range, and it was a really horrendous time, and it wasn't a time I really enjoyed. I have to report that this new guy, we had the inspectors on the range. Now, if you remember the last conversation I had, Doyle came on our range, and he basically did the inspection. So he became the judge, jury, and arbitrator of all range inspections. And shut down the range, and I didn't really have a place to appeal. Since then, Tim Weeb, who is, I think, a Woodstock native, if I'm not mistaken, who has come from the Sheriff's Department and appointed the CFO, has opened up a rapport, believe it or not, with the Provincial Firearms Advisory Committee, has asked for advice, has most recently taken away the demand that we have letters of invitation to the ranges, if you remember that quite distinctly from Doyle. Uh-huh. So he's rescinded that. He actually called me and told me that there was a lot of chatter about the Canadian National Championships and that our range for inspection and approval was on the top of his priority list. And, of course, we got delayed with, a month of rain in June and weren't able to complete what we wanted in time. So they were up Monday. And in the latest conversation with Tim, approvals will be no photos. Just tell me that you've done what I've asked you to do, and I will fax you your certification.
Wow. Very nice. That's
reasonable guy. He's done action shooting. He knows what it is, and he didn't do the what if on me, right? What if?
Yeah.
What if you have a ricochet and it travels 2 miles and it,
hits a kitten on a step somewhere?
Yes, right. Like the one in where is it? Was it in Lake George or somewhere in Fredericton? I think somewhere area. I think the Irving Range. The fellow picked up a .38 slug on the porch of his camp and blame the range. It would have had to travel 2.5 kilometers, a .38 special. Anyway,
yeah.
Doyle had picked up on that. I'm still not a big fan of Doyle, and I'm just so happy that he's gone, and that we have opened a new era of cooperation and a new era of reasonable regulation that we can both accept. So I'm really happy with that.
Fantastic.
It's good to be a gun owner in New Brunswick for a change.
You're right.
For sure. All right. Well, we'll get more into that when we get to the main topic. But Trevor, why don't you tell us what you did? I believe you went to Montreal.
Yeah, I went away on my honeymoon and shot guns. Chris often says to me, he says, "My boy, you live a charmed life." So, we returned to Montreal after 10 years for our honeymoon. Sure if it's actually 10 years, because I kind of took a year off there. But anyway, while we were there, I met up with the hosts of Radio Velocité Québec, Mario and Jasmin, and they took me shooting at a club that Jasmin is a member of. And things are a little different in Quebec than they are in New Brunswick, Matthew, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The you have to, at this particular range anyway, you have to shoot when there's a range officer present, both at the rifle range and at the pistol range. The rifle range is the rifle range was fairly nicely laid out, but the covered firing point looked like a bunker. Everything was completely covered over and baffled, and little windows for you to shoot out of, and just not the open air concept that we're used to here at home. To get to the pistol section, you took a trail through the woods and walked down a hill, just a walking path, nothing fancy whatsoever, let me tell you, tripping over the roots as you went to a swamp where there was another covered firing point. And I do mean it was a swamp. You could tell that, you know, the deck of the range had been mud maybe just a week before. The range is pretty rough. I'm sure there's a lot of members. The membership fee is like $100 or something. But when we get down to the pistol section, the target stands were broken pieces of wood being held up by broken pieces of 2x4. It was pretty rough shape. There was new construction going on behind the covered firing point. And again, the covered firing point was all these real, kind of like telephone poles, like you've seen on other ranges, but everything completely enclosed. And even a screen between you and the next guy so you don't get his brass in the head. And you know, you couldn't practice IPSC there because it's a covered firing point. You don't advance. You don't move left. You don't move right. It's just simply set up for bullseye shooting from, you know, 3 or 4 meters out in front all the way to the end of the range where the berm was, which was about 45, I'd say. But fun day. Jasmin took all of his handguns. So there was a Ruger Mark III, his Beretta 96, his Norinco 1911, and
whoa, you shot another 1911? Oh, that's right. I saw that on Facebook, didn't I?
I said, I'm telling you what he brought. I didn't tell you what I shot.
No, I saw pictures of you shooting it.
God help me, there's even a video.
Yeah.
Chris, I shot two 1911s in the same month. Can you believe it?
And the Norinco actually worked?
Yeah, well.
See, now, I'm wondering, did you help John Moses Brunning assemble these 1911s that Trevor was shooting, or
well,
were those
would,
different ones?
I wouldn't think John Moses Browning would have a Norinco.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Touche, yeah. So, he had a Smith & Wesson M&P Pro. So this is the second or third M&P Pro I've shot. I shot Andy's when he came to the three gun last year, and I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed this one too, so much so that it, you know, if I was going to shoot production and shoot a striker fired, I would stay striker fired, obviously, for the advantage of the constant trigger pull and no hammer and no safety and all that stuff. Wait, now is there a safety on the M&P Pro?
I do not believe so, no.
No, I didn't think so. Anyway, I'm still impressed by the M&P Pro. And the other gun that impressed me was his Beretta 96. Now, Chris, back in the day, several people tried the Beretta at our club, right?
Yeah, those are the 92Fs, eh?
Yeah, the 9mm. Yeah, this was the 40 caliber one.
Right.
I my opinion, really nice gun, but certainly not an IPSC gun. It's definitely a duty weapon. There's no two ways about it.
Did this have the falling block?
Yep.
The decocker?
Yep.
Yeah. It's way too complicated for this sport.
Oh, yeah. 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 And there's not a whole barrage of aftermarket accessories and whatnot. If you were going to shoot the 96 in standard, you'd be at a real big disadvantage. There's nothing you can do to really tune that gun like you would a Glock or a 1911.
Right.
I don't think there's, I don't know if anybody makes a magwell for those things or anything. Yeah, nice gun, but again, not a IPSC gun for sure.
Well, it goes with what we tell new guys that show up at the range, and you were one of the new guys at one time, and we told you, right, before you buy stuff, you know, come and talk to us, right?
Yep, and just the same rant I used to give people in archery. Don't come to my house with a bow you bought off eBay that's 10 pounds too heavy and 2 inches too short and say make it fit.
That's right. It's too late at that point.
That's right. So, other than that, I was on the range with Chris and some of the guys on Monday and again today. And shirts, the shirts, the initial order, the shirts are in. I have to go through and make sure I do have everybody's shirt and count them up again and start to contact people and figure out what it's going to cost them to have the shirt shipped to them. So that's on the agenda for tomorrow. And AR-15 tickets, some people have sent EMTs to Chris, so I've got to get in touch with them and send them out their photos of their ticket stubs. In some case, I think Thomas wants his ticket stubs in the mail, so that's certainly not an issue. I'll do that. And we still have tickets available if anybody wants to continue to buy tickets. So the email that they'll go to, Chris Kingston, who's with us this evening, and his email is gunsareus@nb.simpatico.ca.
Guns with a Z, right?
Yeah.
And the R has to be backwards.
Like Toys R Us. Yeah. Never gets old, huh, Matthew?
Never. No, it works every time.
As far as T-shirts, if anybody else wants a T-shirt, same thing.
Which T-shirts are you talking about, Trev?
For our show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Slamfire Radio Slamfire T-shirt. Radio.
Oh, yeah. All right. Awesome.
It's got our logo on the front, and on the back, it's got our little motto, talking out of our brass, and our website.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they look okay. Mark's got one for him and his son, and Mo's got one, and a couple of local guys got them. So I'll wait till we get another 10 pre-ordered, and when I got the money in the bank, then I'll go ahead and order the T-shirts and send them out. So I don't think we've gotten any since the charity shoot. So
where can they send orders to if they want one?
Well, they can send the details through our Facebook page or through our show's email, which is slamfireradio@gmail.com. Correct, Matthew?
Correct.
And the money for the order can go to me at trevor.furlott@nbed.nb.ca.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, and what's the cost?
$20.
Huh. Cool.
We get them in blue or black, navy blue, black, and I think somebody asked for a white one.
Ooh.
So I'll interesting. Look into that, yeah. You don't want to wear white to the gun range.
No.
It gets dirty fast.
Yeah. You don't want to wear black too often either, especially this kind of weather, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, you're telling me. It is hot out there.
Yeah.
Well, you have no idea what hot was when, what was it, last Friday.
Yeah.
We were working on the range. We had this quit. We had to quit around 2 o'clock. You just couldn't breathe. It had to be 35, 36 degrees Celsius. Okay.
It was actually, I checked when I was in Montreal. It was 36 down here before the Humidex. It felt like 40.
No, it had to be.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Cool. So that's going to take us into our main topic, which is the 37th annual IPSC.
Oh, yeah. So I don't get to talk about what I did with guns this week.
Oh, right. You were first. And you let Matt, Chris go first. I'm sorry. I'm tired, man.
I guess so. He must have been working on the range hard today.
I'm just following the, well, I was there anyway. I was just following the script, right?
Yeah, see, normally we let you go last because you go for so long, but I figured I'd be nice and let you go second, you know.
You figured you'd be what?
Huh?
You said you figured you'd be what?
I figured we'd let you go second.
Oh, you said something about being nice, which totally threw
me.
Oh,
me being nice. Yeah, yeah, no, that doesn't happen often. But, you know, every now and then, I got a bit of that heat stroke, too. So that's
So why don't you tell us what you did this week in guns, Matthew?
All right. Well, the most exciting thing was not really terribly that exciting, but I was interviewed by Rod Giltaka of Civil Advantage.
I thought we were going to interview him. Are we trading off now? Is he coming on or what?
Yes, he's gonna join us in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have him on. But I joined him for, it was supposed to be about a half-hour show. I think it went for about 45 minutes. But he posts his interviews as videos on his YouTube channel. So in the next couple of weeks, he said he'll be getting that up. You should head over to his YouTube channel. It's just youtube.com/civiladvantage. And he's got a pretty good boatload of really good videos.
I love his channel. It's very Canadian, and he focuses a lot on kind of unique Canadian firearms or firearms that we can get more than other countries maybe. Like he does do a lot of reviews of like the Dominion products and the Norinco products, and he doesn't pull any punches. He tells you what he likes, what he doesn't like. So I think actually, Chris, you would enjoy his channel. He's a down-to-earth guy. He does some training, and
Yeah, because Chris is the kind of guy who, you know, sits at his computer and watches YouTube all day.
He does watch some, but he doesn't watch guys like you and I on YouTube.
Right,
but he
right.
would watch Rod.
We just get ourselves in trouble when we do that.
You'll have to send me his link.
Sure.
Okay.
You can do that. Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, anyway, it was a really good conversation. We talked a bit about gun politics and gun culture in Canada. Kind of went down our wish list of what we wish we could have changed with our laws and, you know, so, some pros and cons of different stuff. So it was an interesting conversation. So look forward to hearing that whenever it comes up. And then I got out today and did some more frog hunting without Trevor.
How many?
I got three more.
Three more.
Who which rounded out my total of four because I had one in the fridge still. So I had just enough for about half a meal this evening.
You had one in the fridge still?
Yeah, I shot one, oh, I don't know, a couple days ago, I guess.
Oh, so you've been out twice since we went out?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Awesome.
I got two really big guys.
Nice.
Big guys, and then I got kind of, you know, medium-sized ones, but they were still pretty tasty.
Did you cook them in bacon grease again?
I did bacon grease, and I put some garlic powder in with it. Which didn't change anything at all, so
no.
I'm not going to do it again. It tasted exactly the same as the ones you cooked up, so
okay.
Yeah, nothing really changed there. But yeah, it was good. It was fun. You know,
Chris?
Yes?
Have you ever eaten frog legs?
Unintentionally. The first clue should have been this big green frog on top of the chafing dish. Right? And then I said, you know, that's really neat chicken. But I said, why is the meat all down at the bottom of the leg, right? And the person went by and went, ribbit. And I said, oh, there we go.
You didn't enjoy them?
I did, yes.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know, didn't, not one of the foods that I pursue.
Oh, well, yeah, no, we enjoy them enough that we actually pursue them. We go
yes.
There's a pond by Matthews that we went out to, and now he's gone out since then. And, yeah, shoot them up, take them home, and eat them.
I can see Greenpeace in front of your house saying, save the frogs.
I hope so. Wait till
frogs
they find out.
What do they call them? Sea kittens?
Sea kittens? Sure. If Greenpeace doesn't like us eating frogs, wait till they hear about our seal hunting adventure that's coming up.
That's
a story for another time.
Yeah, no, I do have to.
You're going to have Watson on your... on the bow of your boat there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I do have to say, Trevor, we were using CB shorts. Did we use CB shorts, you and I? We were just using regular full power 22s, weren't we?
Yeah, well, I was using standard velocity out of my Mark II.
Right. I discovered that CB shorts are, you know, a little more than anemic, even with frogs.
Really?
I actually had to, unless you get a perfect brain shot... it just zipped right through them, and the frog just kept right on going. So I had to switch out to 36 grain bulk ammo at 1,280 feet per second before I could get them to stop.
Well, I wonder if that's what happened with some of the hits I got with the pellet gun.
Maybe. It just went straight through, and it like one of them, the frog, like I eventually did catch the frog, and it just had a perfect hole right in its back and out its chest, and it was breathing fine and running fine. Like it did not seem to be injured at all, except for it had a hole through it. So
no hydrostatic shock,
none. So anyway, once I switched out to the quote unquote full power loads, when you're talking about 22, that's kind of funny, but
that
anyway,
funny.
Yeah, they work just fine. Once it doesn't matter where you hit them, then pretty much they pretty much stopped right away. But it was interesting just to kind of, you know, 22 short, you'd think all kinds of power there, right? But
yeah,
Didn't seem to do the trick, so...
That's anyway. Funny. I'm thinking we have to go back with a butterfly net.
Yeah, butterfly net's probably the... Well, you still got to put them down, right?
And yeah, but I'm saying, then we can recover them easier.
Oh, no, see, I went in sandals and shorts today, so I just walked right out up to my knees if I had to get them. It was no big deal. The water was warm, and...
Oh, leeches!
I didn't get any leeches, but I did double-check myself. But, yeah, leeches are... Whatever. Leeches are leeches. You just brush them off. It's no big deal.
I'd rather burn them off.
I'll get the flamethrower.
Eat to or not, it makes me feel better about the whole thing.
Oh, funny. All right. Well, anyway, those were my adventures this week. Yeah, let's talk about the national some.
Cool.
So this is some sort of competition, I guess, something where a couple guys get together and...
Yeah. Yeah, it is not the 37th annual, it is the 36th annual.
Oh, I thought we were...
Nope. It okay. is the 36th. Yeah, it is currently the largest competitor turnout in its history coming to northern New Brunswick. So that's...
Now, not to sound like Mike Dam, but what are you basing that on?
I'm basing it on registrations.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, hard evidence, right?
You have how many people registered at this point?
Well, we've had some withdrawals of late, so we're around 300.
Okay.
You know, give or take a couple. But had they all stayed, I had about 12 or 15 withdrawals in the last month. So if they had all stayed, we would be 317 or something of that nature.
Wow.
But
wow.
So even
does that mean that there are actually about 15 spots open if somebody wanted to register late, or is it pretty much too late for that now?
No, they could register. I've had, actually, I have a registration sitting on my desk from a lady from New Mexico.
Holy cow.
So, and I've had 4 registrations in the last 2 days that I've accepted.
What's her name?
Yeah, because you know so many people from New Mexico, right, Trevor?
Could be Gabby. Gabby Franco. You don't know who that is. Never mind.
All right, then.
Just a second. I'll tell you.
Well, quick, Trevor, fill the dead space. Tell us a joke.
There's these three guys that get in a car accident. No, wait, that was Steve Lee's joke. It's a great joke, by the way.
Sorry.
Her name is Carol Moreland.
Okay, we don't know her.
No.
Right. Anyway, so that was an interesting registration. And we have Chris Tilley. We have 3 or 4 guys from the U.S. Of course, all the guys from, you know, as far away as Nunavut and B.C. and everybody else in between coming. So the biggest contingents both being Quebec and Ontario.
Of course. Well, Chris, why don't you start at the beginning and tell us how the little old Reshkovich Gun Club ended up hosting the 2013 IPSC Nationals?
Well, I think basically it's about sweat equity. This club has put on 10 Level 3 events over the last 10 years, including 2 very successful provincial, New Brunswick provincials. Its reputation... It just has grown exponentially. It kind of scares you after a while because you don't know what, you know, how you're going to top from 1 year to the next year and that kind of stuff. Because our matches tend to be a lot of fun. They test accuracy and speed, and they, you know, test all the fundamentals of IPSC. And we spend a great deal of time with the ancillary events that surround IPSC because, and especially these matches, because they're important. It's a really nice social event where a lot of people who enjoy shooting guns get together and discuss and talk and, you know, all of that. So I think we have so many converts out there from Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia. You know, last year Nova Scotia postponed its provincials or rescheduled its provincials so its members could attend SummerSlam. So that tells you that our group and its reputation has earned it the right to host the Nationals.
Yeah, I've got to say, whenever I look back to the Summer Slams that I've been to, I think any of them could have been the Nationals. And I know that you guys have pulled out the stops, and when you did, the entire dam burst, because you have expanded the range and added so many cool stages and so many new props. This is going to be an absolute fantastic competition, and I cannot wait to go and get disqualified.
That sentiment, Matthew, is something that's been communicated to me 100 times at least from people that have registered, that I have confirmed their registration, saying, you know, this is to confirm receipt of your match registration and fee. This is all by email. Welcome to the Nationals in northern New Brunswick, home of the Restigouche Range. See you in August, right? That kind of stuff. And right away, you get this email back that says, I can't wait. I've heard so much about it, da-da-da-da-da. It, you know, the enthusiasm out there is tremendous. So we have definitely pulled out the stops. I mean, we've put a lot of expansion in the range, as you had indicated. you know, we're going to try to make it as neat and clean as possible, make sure all the stages, forgive the pun, are bulletproof, that they all work. They work right every time. We've had a lot of cooperation from Sean Hansen, the regional director for IPSC Canada, from IROA, from the National Range Officers Institute as well. We have a superb field of guest CROs that are going to be running our ranges. So we have 15, 16 CROs. We have CROs running the chronographs, CROs running the stats. So this the field of officials that are coming here are just second to none. Listen, I'm really going to have to beg off and hit the showers. You know, just a final word on the Nationals. When we talked about pulling out the stops, we found a company in Dallas, Texas, that their awards program is called Crystal Pistols. And actually, it's a website, crystalpistols.com. These are fabulous awards that will be presented to the five top finishers in each division. They manufactured in China, of course, everything is, but these have been shipped to Nova
Laser. Oh, are these Norinco?
No.
Are you getting Norinco trophies?
No. No.
I don't know if they're made in China.
And they're guns.
No, the productions are actually Glock. The crystal pistol looks like a Glock.
Good.
The open gun has a Seymour sight. It's an STI.
Nice.
with a Seymour and a comp. The classic division is a 1911, and the standard division is a 1911. So, and the revolver, of course, will be a revolver. So there wasn't a whole lot of choices when it came to classic and standard. The 1911 seemed to be the most mold or model that they had. So I'm waiting for these to get the Nova Laser engraving in Halifax so we can get our logos engraved on it and the finishing. And the banquet should be spectacular in terms of the awards that we have created and the cooperation that we had with the community college who laser etched all our logos on the wooden on the plaques. So again, you know, kind of overcooking a little bit and making sure that we give back. That has been the philosophy of this club in terms of its participation in SummerSlam, that we just don't take the money and run. We actually give back to the shooter. We should have on the prize table probably between 12 and 15 guns on the prize table.
That's so cool. I want to win one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's all going to be random draw, right? And you actually have to be at the banquet to win.
All right. Well, I'm there.
All right. Anyway, guys, I really appreciate having you on the radio and having me on the radio, I guess, and putting in my 5 cents for the SummerSlam. I've lived, ate, and slept this thing for the last 12 months. And I think it's going to be pretty special. Something that the shooters will take back and say, you know, I really had a good time.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, I got to say thanks for joining us. It's too bad you couldn't stay longer, but it is what it is, and we'll get you on again sometime.
Awesome. I really appreciate it.
All right.
See you on the range tomorrow.
All right, Pete.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, well, it was nice having Chris with us, and like I said, it was too bad he couldn't stay, but apparently when you're running the Nationals, there's stuff to do, and you kind of have to, you know, go whenever you have to go, so.
You know what just happened?
What?
Sal's called him and said, listen, I don't care if you're on that radio thingy. I have questions. I have things we need to talk about. You get off of that, and we're going to do our thing.
That's basically what he did. And you can hear Owen laughing in the background because he finally decided to join us. So, Owen, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks. You can all blame my wife.
No, we won't do that.
No, she cooks me strawberry shortcake. It doesn't matter what happens, it's your fault.
I ate a pan of cinnamon buns in one sitting at your house. It's your fault.
That's true.
Guess what she made yesterday?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She took two bottles of my homemade beer and made some sort of roast concoction that she like cooked the roast in the beer. Oh, it was amazing.
What kind of roast?
It was like a beef roast.
Oh,
nice.
It was amazing. Beer.
Huh. Hmm. Hey, you know what? Next time I cook bear in the slow cooker, I'm going to cook it in beer too.
Yeah.
This is
why don't you step it up, Trevor, and cook it in scotch?
Oh, I don't know if I can do that to scotch.
Yeah. This was a nice, dark red ale. Well, you know what my red ale is like.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, Owen, why don't you quickly regale us with what you did with guns this week?
Very good.
Moving on. Did you do anything with guns this week?
No, not really.
Nah, I didn't think so. Did you've been working a lot. I know that. You've been working out in the heat. How's that been going?
I'm pretty sure I've consumed 10 gallons of water in the last 2 days.
Wow.
maybe more. It's crazy.
I can imagine.
I've been working evenings and out in the sun and then up in attics and everything else.
Up in attics. Yeah, you got to go in the attic whenever it's 37 degrees out.
Today was actually pretty nice.
Today wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It's like 28 degrees, which was, kind of mild.
Oh, yep. We were 26 today.
Yeah, it wasn't too humid. There's a nice breeze. And where do I have to go? Up in an attic.
Wow.
Very good. All right, well, I know Chris left, but let's talk about this Nationals a bit more. This will be the first Nationals I've ever shot, and this will be the first... Well, no, that's not true. I guess I shot Provincials a couple years ago. But, I mean, this is a pretty big deal for the three of us, I think. Trevor, probably not so much. He's gone to Nationals before. He's gone to... I mean, not IPSC, but other types of big competitions like this. So, he's the quote-unquote competitor here this evening because he's actually on the New Brunswick team. But Trevor, what's that?
Some bigger competitions, though not shooting competitions.
That's true. You have with your SCA stuff.
Well, yep. There was that big Dungeons and Dragons tournament you went to in Vegas that time.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Except for herpes. That should follow you all.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
All right. Well, let's start with Trevor. Trevor, how are you gearing up for this? What are you getting your game face on yet? What are you kind of expecting out of this, and what are you putting into it?
I hope he gets his game face on. I don't think I can take 2 days of his regular face.
I am so glad you joined us, Owen.
Well, Matthew, I got to tell you, I'm quite concerned because I get no practice time. The range is essentially shut down, and anybody who had the gall to shoot a pistol on the range while everybody else is working would be shunned for life. So, it's difficult to get in practice time and not feel guilty.
Right.
There are some guys that have decided they're going to, and there's only a few of them, but they're going to shoot this match, and so they stay away. They're not doing any work on the range whatsoever, and they're not coming to the range at all to practice either, because I don't think they want to be in that situation where, you guys are building the match, I'm practicing for the match.
That's true, but now how many other people from your gun club are on one of the provincial teams?
There's three. Three of the four standard members are from my club.
Right. So, and then, well, there's you and Serge, and who else is?
Serge is on the open team.
Yeah.
Then there's me, Remy, and Harold all on the standard team.
And Harold, right? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that I would think that you guys. I mean, we know Serge isn't going to practice because he's crazy maniac and won't stop working at the range. But I mean, some consideration, in my opinion anyway, should be given to those guys who are on the provincial teams and should be, out practicing a bit more than working. But, that's just my opinion, I guess.
It's the work ethic at that club is insane. I got back from being in Montreal and I haven't been on the range for 8 hours a day since then because, forgive me, I'm buying a house and it's inexcusable.
Yeah.
I would think that you'd want to be on the range helping build things because you would get to learn the stages better
and, of course,
be more familiar with them.
Of course I do want to be.
But yeah, I'm just thinking of all the other guys who are staying away.
Oh yeah, you would. Yeah, you would think so. But I don't know if it's an advantage or not. But I mean, Harold and I are not shooting the pre-match, so maybe you might have Harold and I RO-ing your squad. We might be Harold and I have decided we're going to stick together, thick as thieves, and we're going to analyze the match during the pre-match. We can't shoot it, obviously, but we're going to be on the range. We're going to be volunteering, so we'll have a good opportunity to see the stages in action, right?
Yep.
But yeah, so it is what it is. How am I gearing up? I'm not. I'm freaking out. I should start doing. I'm a mess. I'm at this point. I'm ready to throw in the towel and just okay, whatever. Go have fun. You know.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for that. Now, that being said, you are on one of the provincial teams. We'll get to Owen and myself in a minute, but that's sort of my approach to this, is I'm going to have fun. But for you, Trev, I mean, even if do you have time to sit at home and do some dry firing stuff, practice your reloads, practice, you know, drawing from the holster, stuff like that. I mean, even that sort of thing is probably going to help you out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing that. I haven't been doing much. I'm still in vacation mode, even though we're back, and then house buying mode. Like, Owen went and looked at a house for us. We pulled our offer on that house, Owen. I didn't tell you yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we signed another offer on a different property today.
So what are you doing tomorrow? Can you come up and have a look at this house?
we got to go back and look at it again tomorrow, and then I got to go to the range and work. And oh man, so I might get some dry fire in tomorrow night. I definitely have to do something. Basically, all I'm trying to do is I looked. I stepped on a scale, and then I've been bulimic ever since. So
you can run faster when you weigh less.
That's what I thought. So I'm not a scientist, but I figure the lighter you are, the quicker you can move.
The quicker you can accelerate.
Exactly. So anyway, cool. Dr. Physics.
Dr. Pepper, if you will.
Yeah, trying to eat right, and hopefully I'm not going to burn myself.
The food goes in your mouth.
Well, I'm trying to get less of it in there.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, that's it. With all the work and all the stress, I haven't really been thinking seriously about the Nationals. It's sad, but
it's different
when you're hosting, right? The same thing used to happen in archery. I always obviously did better when it wasn't my tournament.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's going to help you a little bit where you're not shooting the pre-match. You can actually shoot the regular match. That way you're not worried about ROing. You're not worried about stage, you know, set up and tear down. You're just there to shoot.
No, and I'm not. I'm still on the range all day. We're shooting half days. And when I'm done shooting, then I'm the media escort guy.
That's true. And I think that's the case for all the shooters that show up, right? You work half a day and you shoot half a day.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you're going to be there not being the first guys through the stages. You're going to, you know, you're not going to be working out the kinks like we did. What was it? SummerSlam last year. Yeah. So, you know, so I think that'll help you a little bit. Owen, what about you? I know this isn't your first big foray into some sort of competition. I know you've got some SCA stuff that you've done. Mm-hmm. But for you, I mean, this is your first big IPSC match, I think.
It is. Yeah, definitely.
You know, how are you gearing up for it, and what are you doing?
Well, like Trevor, I didn't really intend to do a lot of live fire practice, but I intended to do a lot of, you know, practicing my reloads, dry fire. Dry fire, I'm getting a fair bit of that in, but not my reload, like doing reloads and things like that. That is one of my weak points. Really, I'm approaching this because this, I mean, I accomplished one goal by getting a whole bunch of little matches in early in the year.
Right.
So I've got some shooting time, at least, kind of under my belt, which I really needed. I needed some practice, even just breaking down my own stages when going to actually shoot them.
Yep.
So that was good. So I accomplished that. I do feel quite a bit more comfortable than I did the first of the year with shooting, you know, just shooting IPSC in general. And because this is my first full year, you know, full summer.
That's right.
Of shooting.
And what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. I'll go to the Nationals.
Yeah, I know, eh? So I guess I'm approaching this Nationals with two mindsets. One, my only goal is to not disqualify.
Right.
And I've seen some of your six stages, and
they're not that bad.
There's two or three. I went through basically looking for spots that could be trouble spots. I didn't go through trying to analyze how I was going to shoot them or any of that kind of stuff. All I looked for was, where are the spots that I may run into trouble with breaking 90 or, you know, movement or whatever, mostly 90. Because there are a few spots there that look like, at least on paper, look like they could be tricky. But yeah. Anyway, I think in order to do that correctly, I'm going to slow down. Because I know I don't have a snowball's chance and you know where of winning this or even being competitive, I just plan on slowing down, taking my time, shooting for accuracy. That will, you know, by slowing down, that will eliminate a lot of mind,
mind farts,
yeah, brain yeah. farts, where I, you know, I might do something stupid and get myself disqualified. So right. that's kind of how I'm approaching it, you know, so that I don't screw up.
Oh, and I'm looking through the stages now, for ones that might, and you know, I know you said that we were sick, right? And the first one I come to is the stage number two, one of the ones that I designed that has a swinger and a drop turner in the same stage activated by the same popper simultaneously.
Yes.
Yep, sick. Definitely sick.
You're welcome.
The big one I noticed for breaking 90 that I can remember off the top of my head, and I've got the stages here somewhere, is I think it's the bus, because you go down and there's three ports on either side of the bus, and you go down through, and you have to turn and shoot out through the port. Now, when you turn, you're at like
85
degrees. You know, you're right there.
Yep.
So that's it would take one step too far, and you.
Trevor, tell us about how you would shoot a stage like that. Oh, never mind. We got it on video.
Yeah, back up.
Yeah, back up before you pull that trigger.
That's what I mean about slowing down. You know, if yeah. you're slowing down and you're going for accuracy and you're not going for speed, you can go, okay, I just missed that target. Instead of trying to be fast and turn and shoot it, I'm just going to take two steps back and shoot the target. That, being yep. more aware of those things and going for accuracy will help that, I think, if that's what you're focusing on.
24 rounds on there that bus.
All right, Trevor. back to the show, off the stages here. Owen, I got to agree with you. That's pretty much my goal, too, is to not get DQ'd and then also to slow down. And I'm going to try to get as many alphas as I can and try to not hit any penalty targets. That's probably a little far-reaching for realistic goals for me, but, you know, I figure set the bar high, and that way when I crash underneath it. If you set the bar too high, you don't hit yourself in the head when you go through, right?
That's right.
So that's kind of my goal at this point. So, but, yeah, I mean, this will, you know, besides SummerSlam and besides Provincials, this will be the biggest competition I've ever been in my life. I've never done, you know, I don't have archery background, I don't have SCA, I don't have any other sort of competitive sport that I've ever been involved in where I've gone to anything of this magnitude. So for me, just that whole the psych out that, you know, this is nationals. I mean, that's yeah. that's gonna be my biggest thing to wrap my head around to make sure I get through this unscathed. So it'll be an interesting experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, and of course my only other goal is to beat you, but that's always there.
That's always the goal. So
yeah
very good. Well, I think it's time to move on to some listener feedback.
Oh, yeah, show notes. We probably have those, don't we?
Yeah, we do have show notes. So I clearly Owen doesn't have his up. Trevor, you want to take the first email here?
Sure. It comes to us from Dave J. Just another quick question for Trevor. Is the Daniel Defense raffle at his club sold out, or are tickets still available? Thanks again, Dave. And, yeah, as I mentioned earlier in the show, they definitely are still available, and I think Dave stepped up and bought some there. So thank you for the support, Dave. And to anybody else who has bought tickets, thank you, because I got to be honest, all the tickets that I've sold have been sold through the podcast. I've never actually handed anybody a ticket in a pen. It's all been electronic, so.
Very nice.
Yeah, there's well, that's good. There's 1,000 tickets being sold, and I'd have to say that there are probably only about 800 in circulation. The rest haven't even been cut up yet and stapled together. So right now, if you buy a ticket,
a really good chance of winning this rifle.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine during the registration evening and throughout the actual nationals,
yeah, there'll be some sales then.
Yeah.
But so. Still, I mean, if you want you want a good chance in this rifle, hey, would EMTs go to Guns R Us, right?
Yes.
Yep, the email we mentioned earlier. So maybe maybe we'll pop it up on the Facebook page somewhere so people can find that easier. Do that again anyway. Next one comes to us from Pat, and it's nothing more than a picture of the Dr. Pepper truck at the Indianapolis. So that was awesome, Pat. I raise a warm one to you. It's tasty. All right. Owen, bring us this one from Thomas.
He says, hold on. Did Matt not use his 2245 at Charity Shoot 2 and come in second place? LMAO.
Yeah, wasn't compensated or have a red dot. Just, yeah. Who compensates a 22?
Thomas does. For? The recoil. Massive recoil.
The club member who shot the high score never signed up and registered for the charity shoot. So first and second places were won with 2245. Actually, Mrs. Donnelly took first place in mid-scoring category with her 2245. We were just trying to figure out how to hook that drop-like holster she won on her wheelchair. I think I'm missing a joke somewhere.
Well,
anyway,
well, she's in a wheelchair and she won a drop-leg holster, so they're trying to figure out where to put it.
Okay. Gotcha. See, if I'd been to the charity shoot, this would all
right.
This would make way more sense.
Yeah. Now it's even more awkward.
Yeah, oh, it's funnier true. This way.
We listened to the CRR and Slam Fire charity shoot shows together. She got a little cranky that all the winner names were mentioned on both shows except her. I'm never going to hear the end of this now.
Yet another faux pas.
Yeah. So Mrs. Donnelly, first place in mid-scoring category. So what they did was, you know, highest score got, first place. But then Andy cut the list in half. And then the top end of the lower list also won because, you know, it kind of, there are people of different of shooting skills there. So it gave people with, who aren't, Pat Harrison, a chance to win something as well. And it looks like she won. She came in first place in the mid-scoring. So that's fantastic.
If I had known, I would have sandbagged. Just saying. Because I'm bitter like that. I mean,
well, isn't that why you guys, kind of hung around? Because you thought there was a chance that somebody might win the mid-level?
We were out because Brian said he had to go. And then all of a sudden,
there's a chance I might win. He's like, oh, I'm in. I'll stay.
Yeah, Andy said, well, we have to wait and see how Brian and Trevor did. He specifically mentioned our names. And, of course, well, Eagles at that point would not allow us to leave the range.
Of course not. Now, you did win door prizes.
What a fantastic door prize.
Your ticket was drawn by 9X. So, I mean, you didn't walk away empty-handed anyway.
No, I did not. No. I took home a beautiful Hornady Lock and Load digital scale, which I then traded for 3 Glockmanks.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you? But, yeah, no, congratulations to Mrs. Donnelly for winning. I mean, we definitely did not mean to leave you out at all. We just...
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good.
Not a lot of wives put up with us. Our wives don't even listen.
No. Not unless she's actually involved.
I got to listen to you live. You want me to listen to you pre-recorded? Are you insane? That's what I got. Actually, shout out to my wife. She came to the range today and worked alongside the rest of us. And I mean, worked.
That's cool.
And everything.
Very good.
Yeah.
Go, Christina. All right. No cheerleaders. Okay. Yay. That's freaky. Okay, so our last email comes to us from Jeff. He writes, hey guys, I'm coming out from Grand Prairie, Alberta in early August to Woodstock for family reunion type stuff. Is there anything I should be checking out? Yes, there is. The Woodstock Rifle and Pistol Club.
After Jake.
Whoa. Jeff is from Woodstock, New Brunswick?
I don't know. I sent him a reply saying, Woodstock, New Brunswick or Woodstock, Ontario? Because if it's Woodstock, New Brunswick.
He mentions National Archery Nationals.
Yeah, he mentions the Archery Nationals, so he knows it's Woodstock, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. So, yeah, he says, I know Archery Nationals are happening, and we may try checking some of that out. Both sons are into recurve. He finishes off the email with, really enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work. Maybe I should pick up a t-shirt and save shipping.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we could probably definitely hook you up in that regard, probably, maybe, somehow. But, if you're going to be in Woodstock, New Brunswick,
I guess.
Let us know when. We'll take you to the range. Well, Owen will, and I might even come along. And Trevor, well, he might drive the 3 hours and join us, too.
Owen doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to be crashing at his place when I go check out the archery.
Oh, So there you go. All right. Well, maybe we can turn that into a, you know.
When is that? That's the week after IPSC Nationals, right? Or is it the week,
it's 2 weeks early after? August, so that's all I know.
I'll have to look it up. Before, it seems to me it's after IPSC, but before I leave for BC. I'm going to Seattle, so I'm going to have to check and see if Glenn Tate's around.
There you go. That'll work.
He's not in Seattle, but anyway.
Well, I'm going to Washington.
Okay.
That's Washington's like on the other side of the country.
To Ontario.
Oh. I'm gonna have to
say hello to Sam while you're there.
Oh, Office Sam, yeah.
You're getting cut later. All right.
Washington's like bigger than New Brunswick. It's probably twice the size of New Brunswick.
We have
bigger
maps in this county. Ooh. I know.
Hey, that's not that far out. Remember when Steve Lee told me he was coming to Canada for a bear hunt? And I'm like, you're coming to Canada? That's awesome. Where are you going? He goes, I don't know. Someplace speaks French. I'm like, huh? He goes, New Scotia or something, like New Brunswick? Yeah, New Brunswick. I'm like, you're kidding. So he actually came right to our neighborhood. So, you know, crazier things have happened. Maybe you will meet up with Glenn.
Well, thank you, Matthew, for not being a poo-pooer on my dreams.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to actually meet him, but that's cool.
You haven't even read his books. Why does he want to talk to you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Glenn, could you read these for me while I'm here?
I'm going to say, could you read these to me? Not autograph them, read them.
Oh, funny. All right, well, that brings us to the best iTunes review this week. Trevor, take it away.
This is from Dave Johansson. A modern day Bob and Doug, who found their long lost brother and brought him to the show. Excellent entertainment, but informative at the same time. Who's he talking about?
Not us, but we are definitely the Bob and Doug going on here.
Take off.
I'd like to know who's the long lost brother, though. Which of us is Bob, which of us is Doug, and who's the long-lost brother? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, all three of us were on the same show. We're together from day one, so.
Yeah, but there can only
be on a show together before, so I'm guessing you guys are Bob and Doug, and I'm the long-lost brother.
You're a hoser. That's who you are.
Just saying.
Oh, cool. If I had some duct tape, I could put this light on.
I see excellent entertainment and informative. I want to know which one is which.
You ever duct tape a light to a gun before?
I have a feeling it's about to happen.
Yes, I have.
Gotta get a picture of that. Oh, the slide's not gonna cycle too well though.
Well, it's a 1911, doesn't matter.
It's my Glock 22.
Light 30-30 once.
What's that?
I said I duct taped a light to my 30-30 once to shoot a raccoon that was getting into my chickens.
Whatever you gotta do.
You're not allowed to shoot guns after dark, so you didn't.
I know.
Who said it was after dark? He just said he put a light on it.
Yeah. I just wanted to be tactical.
With duct tape. Total was it sense. Camo duct tape?
Was it the Mossberg 30-30 thing with the rails and the plastic?
No, it was just my old gun.
That's funny. All right. Well, if you want to hear your iTunes review, you gotta go leave one for us on iTunes. So head over there, leave us a review, make it funny and or sarcastic and or make fun of Trevor, and we will definitely read it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You guys got anything else we need to add in here?
I got a shout-out.
Go crazy.
To my buddy Jeff Reese out in Calgary, Alberta. Thank you for the Geisley trigger. I can't wait to get that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I've got a shout-out. What's his name?
Love.
I hate this. Austin, who's that Austin guy that shoots IPSC with us from Fredericton area, St. John area?
Austin Stevens?
Powers?
No, not Austin Powers.
He's Abman.
Yeah, he's Abman. Ah, crud. Sorry, man. I can't remember your name. Anyway, so I'm driving down the Trans-Canada, and up ahead, there's a van, and there's a bunch of ladies standing around a flat tire. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll stop and help because why not? Yeah. So I'm stopping.
Matthew is such a ladies' man, as we all know.
So I stop, and I'm like, okay, you know, you need some help, clearly. Yeah. So she said, I called my husband. He's on his way. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just kind of, you know, start. When he gets here, he can help out. So I started, you know, changing the tire, and it was a bit of a pain, but, you know, whatever. So Austin shows up. And I've got my AR-15.
Matthew had to get her to take the lug nuts off.
Shut up. I hadn't even gotten to lug nuts by the time he got there. Anyway, one of them new vehicles, you had to, it was a pain. But yeah. Anyway, so I've got my AR-15 bolt face shirt on that I got from Zombie Shooter Supply. And so he's go, hey, how's it going? Good. And so, you know, we're starting to change it. And he goes, so where are you from? I said, Edmondson. He goes, oh, yeah, I used to be on a firearms committee up near Edmondson. And I'm like, firearms, huh? You still into it? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, me too. I shoot dipstick. He goes, you're Matthew, aren't you? Matthew McClatchy. I thought I knew you from your, you know, I knew you were into guns from your shirt. He's like, you're still doing those radio shows? I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's awesome. So, yeah, it was really cool. Met up with a you know, partial listener anyway, and somebody who I had met before. So
it and a
was,
Glock shooter.
Yeah, and a Glock shooter, apparently. So, anyway, yeah, it was really cool. So, shout out to you, big guy, because I can't remember the rest of your name. Steve, no, Austin something. Crud. I suck at this game.
Chris would, Chris knows it right away, but. Anyway.
Oh, of course he would.
We all know who you're talking about.
Oh, we know.
I don't call him Ab Man for nothing.
No, he's got some abs, let me tell you.
No, Ab. Ab what? Man. He's got one ab.
I get it. All right, now. Well, I think we've lambasted poor him. A little too much now. So,
guess what?
Yo, what?
Before I say, I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
I saw my poster. I was at Despicable Me. Don't ask. Actually, Despicable Me. Go see it. It's a zombie movie. And that's a story for another time. While I was at the movie theater, I saw a poster for Anchorman 2.
Yes, I was just going to mention that.
How awesome is that?
So. Wouldn't it technically be Anchorman 3? Because they made an Anchorman 2 out of all of the outtakes from Anchorman 1.
Why? So now there'll be two of those movies that I won't go see.
I was not told.
You weren't told about the outtake movie?
Nope.
Oh, it's hilarious. You got to watch it, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's you think Anchorman's over the top. Just wait.
And Mario and Jazz insist that I watch Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one with, what's his name there?
Oh, the guy? Always wears a shirt?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The guy always has that shirt on and does the thing.
Walking?
It's the guy from Napoleon Dynamite and then...
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? No, it's a classic from like the 80s.
Oh. All right, then I'm thinking of something else.
Well, you didn't have a TV in the 80s, did you?
I certainly did not.
I feel bad now.
You'll live. All right, so... Thank you for everybody who's still listening. We're sorry that this ended the way it did.
No, we're not.
If you're still here, please go like us on Facebook. We've got less likes than the local public library.
Ouch.
Yeah. So if you want to turn that around, go like Slamfire Radio's Facebook page. Say hi. We might even say hi back to you.
I will. GOC. I'm friendlier than the other two.
Yeah, Trevor will definitely say hi back. He's our social media harlot.
Lady of the night.
Gun Owners of Canada. They do monthly giveaways. It's a fantastic forum. Head over there, sign up. They don't pay us to say this. We just like the forum. So go over there and say hi. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the Canadian Reload Radio Network. One of these days, Owen and I might actually record another Warriors Ethos podcast, but I know that Foley and Bolivar have put out a couple of shows recently, so go check out Canadian Service Conditions Radio.
Oh, yeah, the last one, last episode they did, I learned a lot about AR-15s on that episode. You know, owning one doesn't mean you know anything about it. I know that now. Owning two, same thing.
I'm going to have to listen then because I thought I knew everything there was about the AR-15. Maybe I don't.
I learned some stuff.
I believe you, and I'm sure I will too. I'll have to go listen. Be one of the first ones I've listened to. I'm just kidding, guys. I listen sometimes. No, I don't. Also, Chris Anderson Presents. He hasn't been too active lately, but he does have some fantastic shows. Go check out some of the stuff he's recorded in the past. Of course, we already mentioned the Quebec guys. You got to listen to them. George Hatch, he's kind of on a bit of a hiatus as well. But again, some good back episodes there. Who am I missing? Anybody else I'm missing? I think I got them all.
Got
and of
Andy.
Course, the of course, Canadian Reload Radio itself. He's been putting out some good interview episodes lately, so go check them out. And other than that, don't forget to sign up at the NFA or the CSSA. I just found out that my NFA membership expired recently, so I've got to re-up for that. And, you know, these guys are doing stuff so that we don't have to do as much stuff to make sure we keep our guns in Canada. We just give them some money and they go to Ottawa and tell the politicians what to do. If only it was that easy, right?
I wish it worked that way.
But yeah, no, you got to be a member. If you're going to be a gun owner, be a member. If you're not, well, we suck and you hate us. No, wait, it's the other way around.
Dyslexia has you.
Nailed it. All right, Trevor, take us out.
What are you, like,
Take somebody what?
Take somebody shoosting.
Oh, fantastic.
And I am Ron Burgundy.
Cheers.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
I wasn't ready.
How can you not be ready?
You can't just throw it on me. It's got to be natural. It has to come from the heart. You can't just read take somebody shooting off a script or be told to tell somebody to take somebody shooting.
Clearly you're correct because you did it wrong.
Again.